So today we're continuing this series that we've been in since the beginning of the year, Keys to 2018, looking at some of the keys to our faith that we will need at some point throughout this year. We started off by talking about seeking leads to surrender, that this year we have to seek God, but then we will also ultimately have to surrender to Him. And then we looked at when you surrender, it's life doesn't just get easy. You face these giants. And then we carried those little stones around to help us slay our giants. Then we looked at being the answer like David. And we had those mirrors. So when something comes up, when something needs to be done, we can look out the window and expect somebody else to do it. Or we can take our manual mirror and see our own reflection and be the answer. And then last week we talked about giving Jesus what you have. Whether that's your heart, whether that's your time, your talent, your treasure, your presence. To give to Jesus what you have. Today we're going to look at one of the biggest keys if we're going to become and make disciples for 2018. We have to shine. So today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 14. I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and in reverence of the reading of our gospel lesson this morning. And Jesus is preaching His Sermon on the Mount, and He says these words: "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So there's a big game tonight. I don't know if y'all know that or not. It's kind of a big deal. Whether you like the teams or not, you will at some point tonight show a little bit of interest towards the Super Bowl. Some of you will watch the game for the game. Some of you will catch bits and pieces because you can remember, well, I've watched the last... How many has it been? Sorry. But you've watched them all, and so you want to keep track of that? And then some of you just want to watch and see the commercials. Right? I mean, let's just tell the truth here. But in some way, shape, or form, that game has impacted you because it's a big game. When I played, I borrowed a slogan from some professional athletes, and it carried over into my coaching career. And in these bigger games, I would go up to those that I knew needed to step up, and I would say something like this: big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games, and this is a big game. And that person would win the game for us, and it was because of me. Y'all don't believe that, do you? But big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. And tonight's as big as it gets for professional football players. So here's what we know will happen tonight. There will be ups. There will be downs. There will be easy moments. There will be hard moments. But we know this. Those two teams are trying to outshine the other on the football field. And ultimately, a player or two players or whatever will outshine everybody else, and they will receive a special trophy called the MVP. And somebody may make a play that this will shine in Super Bowl history for decades to come. Well, how is this possible? They didn't just wake up today and go to their fancy breakfast at the hotel and say, "I'm going to be a great football player today." They've worked hard, they've dedicated, they've put in the time, they've pursued what they needed to pursue throughout the year to put themselves in this situation. And now they have this opportunity to shine. Some of them are doing it so that they can build their legacy. Some of them are doing it to prove people wrong. Some of them are doing it because it'll help them make more money next year if they have a Super Bowl ring. And some of them are doing it for this reason and that reason and for their moms and for their dads and for their coaches and just all these things that have led them to this place in their life. But when that game's over tonight, the shining won't stop. Y'all know that? They'll go out all night tonight and they'll tell people, we're Super Bowl champions. Then wherever they're from, they're going to throw a parade for them. And people will skip work or miss work. They'll shut down the whole city so people can go to the parade and buy jerseys and hats that say Super Bowl champions. Look at us shine. Y'all know it's true, right? Then they'll go to where? Where are they? Disney World, and they're going to shine down there too. Isn't that what they always say in the post-game press conference? Where are you going? I'm going to Disney World. But I started thinking in the long hours I had to drive this week. It sounds a lot like our life. Our journey of faith and the call to the church. Jesus tells us here that we are the light of the world and that we are called to shine. That we're called to shine in the way that we live our lives. But we don't just wake up one day and decide, I'm going to shine bright for Jesus today. It wasn't so long ago, it feels like forever ago, but I got to celebrate my 10th anniversary with my beautiful bride in a private dinner in Jamaica. Y'all write that one down. That'll serve you well later, young fellas. And during that dinner, somebody came up that worked there and they wanted to take our picture to commemorate the event. And they did, and we smiled pretty, and we did what they told us to do, and I hate pictures. But we went back and we looked and we found one that was actually kind of decent. I was actually smiling. But I'll tell you what, that's not what stood out in the picture. Other than her beauty, the thing that shined the most in that picture was my face. Why did my face shine? I was sunburnt. And here we were in a dark night, wearing dark clothes, and my face was glowing. Hear this. My face was glowing because I had spent time in the sun. See, we don't just up and decide one morning we're going to shine for Jesus. We shine for Jesus because we spent time with the sun. Now I need to say that. Y'all got that? That's an amen line. I mean, I worked hard on that line. You got one? But life's not always easy, is it? I'm hesitant now to ask this question if you've ever left church and just been on fire for the Lord. I'm hesitant to ask now. But I promise you, at some point at some church with some pastor, you've left on fire. Man, that song, the choir was great today. Man, that sermon was bearable. And I'm going to go out and put all that into practice. You're ready to shine. Then you can't decide where you're going to lunch. And then on Monday, the kids made you late. And on Tuesday, somebody had the audacity to cut you off without using a blinker. And then on Thursday, you woke up and you were out of coffee. It gets hard to shine throughout the week, doesn't it? See, it gets harder to shine. Do you know what eventually happened to my sunburn? It went away. Because I was no longer out in the sun for an extended period of time with unprotected skin. But the same thing happens to us. When we leave the presence of the Savior, if all we're getting from the sun is this time, by Wednesday and Thursday, our shining is probably going to fade away. Have you ever tried to cut on a light that wasn't connected to power? That's frustrating. I had to stay in some hotel rooms this week that I would not be real proud of. And I did not feel real safe. I locked every lock there was in that place. I put the lock on the bathroom door. I don't even know where people. But I went to cut on one of the lights, and now they don't put lights in the top. They're just lamps. Click, 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 nothing. I look down, it's not even plugged in. Now, how's a light supposed to work if it's not plugged in? Same way your cell phone won't, that flashlight won't work if it's dead, will it? You ever tried to use a flashlight without any batteries in it? If you're not connected to the power source, that light's not going to work. Y'all know where I'm going? If you're not connected to the power source of Jesus Christ, you're not going to shine when life gets tough. But that's what we've been called to do, isn't it? We've been called to shine. We've been called to go out and to shine. But did you notice throughout the passage that the shining's not for our benefit? Jesus said, go out and shine so that others will see your good works and give thanks, praise, or glory, depending on your translation, to your heavenly Father. See, Jesus shines in and then through us so that other people can experience light and then give thanks to the Father. Too many times in my life, I let Jesus shine into me like it's about me. Like he's super proud of me and he's just spending extra time with me. And he's filling me up with light. But the purpose is for us to push that light to other people. To continue to become more like him everywhere we go. John Wesley called it sanctification. Sanctifying grace of God, making us more like Jesus. At the conference I went to this week, we were talking about living our lives shining for Jesus. And J.D. Walt said this. He's a writer and a speaker for the New Room Conference and Seedbed Publishing. And he said this. He said, the problem in today's church is we've got lost in statistics and forgotten the score. Now let me explain that. Tonight there will be tons of statistics. From the time they flip that coin up in the air, somebody, Las Vegas, is measuring every statistic that takes place during that game. But do they even matter? There's only one score that will matter, one statistic that will matter tonight. That's the final score. The team that wins might have less yards, more turnovers. They might on paper have played worse than the other team, but they'll be the ones standing with the trophy. And so as I started letting that sink in, I got to admit to you, it punched me right in my heart. And I found myself in that. But how many times in our life, in the life of the church, do we get wrapped up in the statistics? Well, I made it to church four times this month. I'm better than such and such. I actually brought my Bible to church this week. I read my Bible seven times this week. We're keeping track of those statistics, aren't we? How do you determine success in a Methodist church? Really, any church. But how do we measure success? Those of you that know me, you know. Attendance numbers. How many members joined? How many baptisms did you have? What was your average Sunday school attendance? I wish I could say I don't have that data from the first time I stepped in this building to today, but I do. I can tell you the average between any span you want to know like that. But God spoke to me in that moment. He said, Andrew, that's not the final score. That's great. I want this church full. I want the offering plate full. I want all those things. Those are good things. I want you reading your Bible 7 days a week. But what's more important, the final score, is not how many people come to church here, but how many people are going to be different because they came to church here. How many people, how many of us are going to shine out there because when we were here, Jesus shined into us? That's the final score. Whether people come into this place or not, you have the ability to transform their life and their faith by how you live your life. It won't be easy, I promise you. But you'll never have to do it on your own. Your light will always be with you. It's got to become more about the final score. It's got to become more about how are our lives changing. And as I stopped and I looked, why have we been blessed in the 3.5 years? It's not been because of great music. It's not been because of wonderful sermons. It's been because people's lives have been transformed by the grace of God, and they've said, I'll shine into other people. And that's why our children's ministry is blossoming. That's why the youth are participating in worship. It's because y'all decided to let Jesus change your life and then try to change the lives of others. It's what we got to keep doing. But why? All those players in that, they have their why. We sang about our why earlier. We love, we shine because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Let's pray.